This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you.
Hello, everyone. This is Basma Farhad of the People Speak Radio. Here we believe when the people speak, they make a difference. You can listen to the People Speak live on BBS Radio every Tuesday night from 8:55 to 9:55 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, or by going to our website, thepeoplespeakradio.com. You can also listen and hear live shows or listen to our past shows on iPod Ready Archives section. The People Speak is a live one-hour radio show that reaches people all over the U.S., Canada, and Australia, and even as far away as the United Kingdom. Our audience can call in by phone and speak to me and our guests by dialing 415-762-1161 or by calling 712-432-0075 and enter access code 318116 pound sign. We're also very excited to announce that you can now listen to us on your smartphone. So there's no excuse to hear the most fascinating people in the world right here on the People Speak Radio. Tonight's guests are Mike D'Onofrio and Marianne Demo from the Michigan area, Allen Park, and somewhere on the east side of the city, or a little bit of all over in the east side of the city. Mike and Marianne are people that I have come to know in my particular area. Mike D'Onofrio joined the city of Allen Park in 2009 as the Economic Development Director, and is working to help advance the city's effort towards business retention, recruitment, and revitalization. One of the things that Mike is very proud of is his 23-year history as a master gardener, and he's involved currently with the Allen Park Farmers Market, which is a strategy to help create a destination for the downtown business district. Now, as we go on, Marianne Demo, who is the editor-in-chief of the Healing Garden magazine for the Wayne County area. Natural Awakenings. Wrong magazine. I'm sorry, forgive me, Marianne. too many magazines that I look at in my life. Marianne Demo is the published of the Natural Awakenings magazine for Wayne County, Michigan area. Natural Awakenings is all about healthy living and the healthy planet. She also manages the farmers markets, the Warren Farmers Market, the Shelby Farmers Market, and is just starting with the Allen Park Farmers Market on June 18th, going into its second year. Marianne is a member of the Michigan Farmers Market Association and a past president of the Rotary Club of Detroit. Now, the wonderful synergy that's going on here, and I was pleased to introduce Marianne to Allen Park, because I felt that they were starting out, there was a need for this to develop. I'm a firm believer in urban development, and farmers markets are just part of the process. First of all, thank you for joining me tonight, both Marianne and Marianne. I apologize again, and Mike D'Onofrio.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Mike, this is the second year for the farmers market.
Yes, it is, and we're very excited about it. Made a few adjustments from last year, and we think that we've taken it to another level for this upcoming year, and excited to have Marianne become our market master to bring in a good venture of vendors from all sources of what represents the farmers and vendors of the types of help me out, Marianne, on what
the products that you want to see happening there?
Well, one of the things that we were looking to do is to try to bring kind of a wellness theme to the farmers market, because eating healthy, locally grown produce is definitely a step in the right direction to becoming healthy.
Absolutely.
And we figure if people are going to come out and buy this wonderful fresh produce, why not push the envelope and offer them a few more healthy living types of options? And it ties in rather nicely with the Natural Awakenings magazine, of course. But we have Jim Perro coming out from Yoga for Peace, which is a local yoga studio in the Downriver area in Michigan. And he's going to offer yoga for children and also yoga for seniors, seated yoga. So you'll be sitting in a chair, and there's definitely some things that every person can do that will help them stay more flexible and be, healthier throughout their later years. And for the young kids, we're hoping that might help actually calm them down a little bit. And we've got a gal, Linda Leader, who's coming in to do chair massage. And we have a raw food chef, Samantha Gibbs, that's going to show us some of the great ways that you can use fresh, seasonal fresh produce as it comes in to make these amazing, her specialty is green smoothies, where you might mix some, for example, like a frozen banana, some strawberries, and then you just put a handful of whatever greens you have in there. And as long as you can get past the green color, it tastes amazing, and you're going to give your body a real jolt of energy because your food is kind of almost pre-digested when you get it, and then, your system can assimilate it really quickly. So we're hoping that Samantha can help people want to include a little bit more raw food into their diet, and we've got a whole host of vendors that are going to help you figure out how to get more fresh produce into your diet. And the other bonus is, buying locally is such a strong thing to do. And if we can keep our dollars within Michigan and not be importing produce from other countries, then we're going to help to, make our local economy flourish.
Well, I'll tell you, it sounds like a fascinating, first of all, I love the idea that you've incorporated some kind of a theme in this. Congratulations to both of you. That's a wonderful idea. And as you said, this is such an important thing. It goes in line, with farmers markets, with the type of, healthy living, sustainability. Let me ask you, are there a lot of legalities? I know, Marianne, that you, have put together, this is going to be your third market. In the area, are there a lot of legalities that you have to go through? Mike, I know that you working with the city, maybe you can shed some light on the kind of the ins and outs of actually, because I think it's vital. I think a lot of people are a little bit intimidated by setting up farmers markets, and I'm hoping that by listening to the both of you interact and talk about how this came about, that people will be less intimidated and maybe go for this in a lot more of the communities that we have in the Michigan or anywhere in the world. I mean, farmers markets, I believe, are vital to our sustainability. What kind of legalities do you have to look at when you're looking to present a farmers market?
Well, from the city standpoint, being the host itself, it's a little easier for us to get organized versus a private organization trying to put something together in a public area. We have public property all over that we can go ahead and identify that seems to be the best place to recruit the traffic, we'll say, to our certain areas. With that in itself, we were able to identify an area that would allow us to present the market in a way that we wanted to have exposure to the community, and the legalities to it all was basically because it is on city property, we were pretty well protected as it would have been for any city function, whether it was a carnival or if it was a fair going on, a street fair, or an event that we have. Sometimes we have garden walks and things like that. So it was all kind of under the umbrella of the city that allowed us to get this thing organized.
Mike, does that also incorporate any kind of insurance or anything like that that you have to?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. When you're a city like that, like we are, we have insurance that protects us to have all types of events within your community. And being that we're on the community center property really is a parks and rec type atmosphere. And having an event there is no different than having it in your own little park anywhere throughout the community. So having it in our parking lot, it happens to be, some communities will have them off into parks that are off to the side where they have nothing but grass and have them set up. Our case, we don't have that availability in our downtown area where we wanted to have the farmers market presented. We also wanted to present a little atmosphere to our downtown. We're a city that happens to have a Main Street environment, and we wanted to promote some of the smaller mom-and-pop type shops the opportunity to be a part of the market and be featured on a weekly basis to try and promote the businesses we have on our Main Street and some of the businesses that we'd like to see come to 7 days a week, not just for the one day of the farmers market. So overall, it's a good balance, and it's a good thing to get buying, as Marianne indicated, to promote buy local, buy from your own community, buy from your own state, and you know that you're going to get fresh produce. And we're excited about how it's all falling in place. This is becoming one of the most popular events throughout the state. It's probably almost going backwards when you talk about history, going back to farmers markets and coming downtown and into your own little town and buying your produce and your daily needs is what our grandparents are all about. And going back to this is something that we're trying to promote more of the buying local again.
Well, you know, one of the things that I reminds me of is we had done some work for the Henry Ford Estate last year, and as I was reading some of the information that we were putting on various applications, I started reading about Mrs. Ford's interest in they were basically farmers markets, but they were roadside stands, and that was a huge thing for her, and this kind of reminds me of that. And I think I don't know of anybody that doesn't enjoy going into farmers markets and seeing the different. Marianne, is this strictly food that you're going with, or are you also interested in getting other kinds of vendors? Because I know, like the Dearborn Farmers Markets has a lot of vendors that sell, you know, artifacts and artwork and things like that. Are you guys interested in hosting anything like that?
Yeah, I think we try to encourage people that make things, you know, craft, artisans, that type of thing, or also products that kind of complement the produce, like related things like honey or spices or maple syrup or things on that order. And mm-hmm. One thing that makes it nice about that is that sometimes there's little gaps in the season, you know, like early in the market season, you don't have a lot of vegetables that are ready. And for some people, they don't get as excited about lettuce as other people do. And so, you know.
Oh, really? I wouldn't have known.
If there's some homemade soap or, you know, something on that order that they can check out, then, you know, every week when you go to the market, it's different. And so you always have to go just to see, you know, what's new out there. And one of the things we've noticed, I just was reading recently that kind of the resurgence of farmers markets began right around the time of the Great Depression. And there was, you know, all of a sudden there was this new need to bring people together and to support one another. And a lot of it was done with training at that point. And it's kind of, you know, sort of a lot of things with the Great Depression are kind of coming full circle. But I'm noticing that there's an awful lot of people that are employed during the week. And they're coming out on the weekends and doing, you know, what maybe used to be a hobby, you know, type craft. And all of a sudden now that's helping to supplement their income or, you know, maybe even making a house payment or two.
Absolutely. So, you know, absolutely. As a matter of fact, being in the sign industry, I know that for us, a lot of the people that are coming in are new businesses that are new entrepreneurial businesses. They're starting, as you said, candle companies and soap companies and certain foods, wholesome foods, things like that. I think it's fantastic what you're doing. May I ask, Marianne, are there any how do you, like, if somebody was to start a farmer's market now, how would you go about to generate interest by vendors around the community? Do you put out ads? How do you do that?
Well, a couple things, and kind of going back to something that you had mentioned earlier about, you know, it's kind of intimidating to say, okay, I'm going to start a farmer's market. But I think that there's some good resources out there available. One, number one, is the Michigan Farmers Market Association. They have a lot of resources. They meet annually. They're about 3 years into it now. And they're just a wealth of information. There's a listserv where market masters or prospective market masters can go on there and just share ideas, you know, and put questions out like, okay, should all of our vendors have to have insurance if we're meeting in a park that already has insurance, you know, and people that are making food items, what are the requirements and, you know, what different areas govern them? Like, it actually varies by county. So you've got to, if you say you're going to make sandwiches and sell them at the farmer's market, and I get a lot of calls for people that typically want to sell baked goods. You know, they want to say, well, I want to make them in my kitchen and I want to sell them at the farmer's market. And it's kind of sad news for them because anything that is sold that way is, it needs to be prepared in a commercial kitchen. And it is possible for them to have their own personal kitchen inspected by the health department and then certified. But, you know, that's kind of a little bit lengthy and expensive process, more than what they were planning to get into. But we do have a lot of people, like one of the vendors, Mumby Pies, this guy has his grandmother's pie recipe. And he worked for another company for years and got laid off. And so he thought, well, I should start making these pies and selling them. And he went to his church that has a commercial kitchen, and he rented the space, made the pies, and just came out to the market for the first time and said, hey, I'm going to see how this goes. Well, he sold out before the market even closed, and people were already clamoring for more, you know, and that was last year, and now he's probably at about 10 markets, you know, and he's kind of shifted his whole course of operations because he is a very, he really enjoys baking the pies. He doesn't necessarily enjoy selling them. And so now he's got a whole crew of, you know, college students that are out there selling for him and doing a great job, and he's got this whole system where, you know, he pays a flat fee, and then if they sell out, he gives them a bonus, you know, and he's got all this little incentive worked out. And here's all these kids that are able to have a summer job, you know. So it's kind
of, you know, what I find interesting about that, Marianne, is this concept that, like this guy that started the pie company went and recruited one of the local businesses and rented a space from them that they probably ordinarily would not have rented out otherwise. I think that that creativeness is what a lot of people are missing. One of the things that, you know, obviously a lot of people, as I said, don't understand the nature of how these things work. They may have a great idea, but they don't know the legalities, they don't know the technicalities involved, and they don't think about things like going and renting a church somewhere, or going and, you know, or for their facility. None of those things perhaps even occur to them. So I think this is interesting that, you know, you mentioned that, because there are so many advantages to working within the community. First of all, anybody that's doing farm work and everything, you know, obviously if you're doing farm work, you're either making some money or employing someone or bringing something to the that table. And I think it's fantastic. Let me ask you, Mike, obviously this leads us into something that has been generating a lot of interest in the Michigan area recently, especially in the Detroit area. And as a master gardener, what are your thoughts on urban gardening? Is this something that you would like to see more of?
I think it's a great thing to get in the times we're into today, with the economy and people getting early retirements or layoffs or just plain out of luck of having a job, allows them to get involved with organizations that are doing some of this urban gardening. It's becoming popular every year as we go. Unfortunately, we're probably into 4 or 5 years of this type of thing growing, as the markets are. And having vacant land that ends up becoming nothing but weed haven fields allows it to be cultivated to where we're making it a little more productive. Going back into what they've talked about for some of the urban areas, including Detroit, downsizing the city of Detroit and having the property that they have is a very serious thing about putting some farms together to where they could start producing enough produce that would help help the poor or help the people that are in need. And I think even DTE is also putting particular gardens throughout the area to go to the same concept of raising all types of vegetables and having it available at harvest time, obviously toward the August and September time frame. They happen to have one here in Allen Park, and they were overwhelmed on the response, not only in the volunteers, but the amount of produce that they were producing, and they were basically could hardly keep up with the beans and the squash and the tomatoes and the potatoes and everything they were going after and getting it out. And they actually had to have, they thought the biggest part was going to have is the volunteers getting involved to plant the garden. They found out that the real challenge was harvesting because they had brought so much in. And they only used maybe an acre of property right into an area where DTE had some of their transformers and in areas that they have where they have enough property around. So it's worked out to become a very popular thing, and I think it's a very positive thing, especially in the times we're into.
Do you think Allen Park is going to be encouraging that type of development as the days come?
I think so. We've not only do we have DTE's garden in within our borders, but our court system also has a garden that they also do the same thing on the other side of town where they're taking some land that goes along the railroad tracks, and it happens to be vacant area that they tilled up and did the same thing, and using some of the court workers that have to spend some community time in to the community and go out there and plant and harvest and weed and put that productive energy into something that everybody can benefit. And they actually give all this away. All this produce is given away from both organizations.
Isn't that wonderful? Now, see, now that's amazing. Again, giving back into your community, you're putting people, people are feeling useful, they're feeling connected again. And I think this is, again, why I love the farmers markets and why I felt this was such an important show. It just makes sense. I mean, you're talking about, when we talked about the urban gardens and the downsizing of, and the, you know, developing the areas in the Detroit, section of the state, they estimate, and conservative estimates done by Wayne State University have shown that, produced correctly, that these empty areas of the city could literally feed the entire city all of the produce needs that they need, require. And to me, that's just an astounding, you know, we're talking about a very large city in Detroit. And
sure.
To know that we have the potential to feed these people through these urban gardens, to me, is just astounding. I think it's fantastic. And I think that it's certainly something that we have to look more deeply into with the crunches that are going on. We've got a lot of serious problems, and obviously this incredible, as we heard the president speaking this evening, and this incredible nightmare that's happening in the Gulf. There are a lot of assaults that are happening on our economy these days, and people are struggling. There just are not enough jobs in our economy, and so we have to come together as communities, I think. And that was the wonderful thing about, like I said, the farmers markets. Where do you see the farmers market going this year, both Mary Ann, or where do you hope to take it this year?
Well, let me go back to where we've come from. Last year being our first year, we made a few adjustments. Not only did we make adjustments to the day and time, but we actually moved it, just adjusted it from a street that we were on to a parking lot area. We went from 75 people a day coming through a garden, the farmer's market, to the first week we made all those adjustments to 700 people coming through in one day.
Mm.
So we've
wow.
learned a little bit of, along the way and understood what was really important. We thought if we created a farmer's market, people would be there and just come. But we understood a little bit more of what the markets are about and the days and the competition that's out there. It's hard to compete with the Eastern Market of Detroit on a Saturday when everybody's thinking about going down there. They're driving right by the small individual community farmers markets to go to there. and it's worthy enough to where all the farmers want to be there. And so you make some adjustments, and that's what you're finding is some of the markets are really, the community farmer markets are showing up during the week, during the day. And your local community are taking the opportunities to go off during maybe lunch hour and do some purchases that they wouldn't probably able to have the opportunity to do unless they did do something on the weekend. And that's kind of what we're doing with our market this year. We're trying to create it as a kind of a casual Friday is what I've been campaigning it to be, being that we're going to be Fridays from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. We've created more of a casual Friday during lunchtime to sneak out to our business district if you work in the area or driving through and take that opportunity to make some purchases and walk through the farmers markets. Maybe there'll be some samples, and then there'll be some vendors there selling hot dogs or lunch type items. I think would create a little more atmosphere for the summer months. With that, we're also trying to create some type of special event every week that would promote some interest to create a little more atmosphere to different themes. In the beginning, the very first week, we're going to have Bloom in June, where we're going to have master gardeners there doing classes that would help people learn a little bit more about gardening and growing their own vegetables and fruits and even landscaping in their own yards. And that's going to be our kickoff this coming Friday.
And then we'll go
into themes that will be every week that will promote something that's within our own community.
Well, you both should be very proud of yourselves. I think this sounds like just an incredible. And since I know the area that you're talking about in Allen Park, both Marianne and Mike, I think it's going to be an absolutely big sellout item and attraction. It is in a perfect area. You know, like you said, you have that mainstream. That Main Street thing going on there, and people do walk, and they're looking around, and it's right down on the main drag there, right off the main drag. I just think it's going to be a huge success. You must be pretty proud of yourselves, both of you. Bravo.
Pretty excited. Thank you.
Marianne, do you think you're going to be doing more of these farmers markets?
Well, I think I may have to limit it at this point. If I did one every day of the week, I don't know if I could be quite as cheerful with the vendors. But you know, a couple things that I just had wanted to mention when you were talking earlier about the community gardens and donating. One of the things that we've gotten started over the past few years is keeping in touch with an organization called Forgotten Harvest. And
yes,
we've made a connection with them that, especially on my Sunday market, because that tends to be, if farmers are working three markets, you know, they'll be like Friday, Saturday, Sunday. By the time Sunday rolls around, there's a lot of the produce that wouldn't make it a whole nother week. But yet it's still good. I mean, it's just, it needs to be used within a few days. And so we've made arrangements to have the Forgotten Harvest truck come out and pick up produce. And, you know, we work with the farmers. They give them receipts as a donation. And then Forgotten Harvest takes these items and divvies it up amongst a lot of different facilities. And so some of these places, I mean, even like the guy from Mumby Pie, if he doesn't sell out, he donates his pies. And so, you know, whatever organization might be receiving them that day, they get that special treat. They get that awesome fresh produce. And, you know, who knows, maybe that might encourage them to want to start some type of a community type of garden, you know, even for their own facilities.
Well, and for those of you that don't, for our listeners that don't know what have a Forgotten Harvest or know what Forgotten Harvest is, it is an organization that takes food that's left over, that has not been touched, that it has to be sealed, it has to be untouched in any way, shape, or form. But say if there was a big wedding or a big a dinner or you were hosting something like that and you had leftover food that was not touched, that had never been opened, you can donate all that food to Forgotten Harvest and they give it to the needy, which is an incredible thing. You know, another thing that I saw at the Dearborn Farmers Market the other day was that you could buy produce from any of the vendors there and donate it to there was this to the what was the name? First Step. That's what it was. It was First Step. First Step is obvious, is a domestic violence program that helps women as far as, you know, finding safe haven from domestic violence. And what they were doing was, anybody that chose to, if you just were going through the, even just as a donation, if you bought the fruits and the vegetables, they donated it to First Step. I thought that was brilliant. Again, another way of giving back into your community, of using, of not wasting any of the vendor's produce. You know, just there are so many incredible ways that farmers markets, to me, just contribute to an incredible community lifestyle. And if, after all, isn't that what we're all, I think, striving to have, especially if you're working like you are, Mike, in the DDA, the downtown development? I mean, what could you develop if you don't develop the community itself?
Absolutely.
A bunch of buildings just don't cut it.
Not at all. And unfortunately, we're at a point where everybody thinks the empty buildings can be filled with anything, and the bigger problem is keeping them from going empty and retaining what you have in place. And that's the thing that we're trying to focus on today, is how do we keep what we have and not lose, and break even is a winning scenario anymore.
Exactly.
So
and Michigan, unfortunately, has been hit very hard. It really has. Let me ask you, Mary Ann, since you're working a number of the markets in different areas of the city and the in Michigan, are you seeing differentiation as to lifestyle, as to the kind of people that, or the kind of money that they're spending as they're going through these farmers markets from one area to the other, or won't you be able to tell quite yet?
Well, not so much that. It's more that I notice people, as they come to the markets more frequently, they start bringing more money. They might start off with just bringing $20 and thinking, well, I'm going to get some vegetables for dinner, or I'm going to get a couple things. But then they start looking around and realizing, oh, my gosh, I can really make a whole meal out of this. You know, like, for example, the other night, we you figure right now what was in this past week was asparagus and Michigan-grown strawberries.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a pasta vendor, Pasta e Pasta, that makes this wonderful fresh pasta in packages. And so I picked up a package of their pasta, and they have this frozen Alfredo sauce. And then they had mushrooms, and I mean, not all at the same vendor, but, you know, in the market, mushrooms and asparagus and strawberries. So when we went home that night after the nap, I made this amazing dish that was just like the fresh spinach fettuccine noodles and their, you know, sauce, and cut up mushrooms and steamed asparagus, and then had cut up strawberries, you know, with shortcake for dinner and for dessert. And it was just like, I mean, that was a 5-star restaurant meal. It tasted so good, not because of my amazing cooking ability, but because the stuff was fresh, you know, and it makes such a difference.
And I have to tell you, Michigan farmers are the best farmers. They grow the sweetest, most amazing fruits and vegetables of any place in any state. That's my personal opinion.
Well, you know, it makes a big difference if you're not picking the stuff before it's ripe and then shipping it halfway around the world. I mean,
exactly.
You know, you're not going to get the optimal taste from that. And also, if you're buying closer to home, you're also saving all kinds of, you know, energy costs and oil. There's a really good book by Barbara Kingsolver called Animal, Vegetable, Mineral. And she talks about buying things locally. And in there, her husband makes a quote, and I wish I could remember all the details about it. But basically, it was talking about if every family even just had one meal a week that was made up of completely locally sourced items, that, I mean, it's like millions of gallons of oil that could be saved. You know, and
absolutely,
it's a small little difference. And that's not even talking about the, so you know, the economic impact. So there's
absolutely.
So much out there. And it's kind of
I think
fun
one
too,
of the things,
know,
too, that you may want to look at, and perhaps this is something that you and Mike can talk about. You know, I think a lot of people would like to be able to buy more products, Michigan products, but to be quite honest with you, you know, who you just barely have time to run into a grocery store these days or into the farmer's market or anywhere that you go and pick up whatever you can find, let alone sitting there trying to figure out, then you're trying to figure out fat content and fiber content and then on top of that you have to find out if it was made in Michigan. But you know, I was thinking maybe we could have like lists of at all of these farmers markets that actually list, and you can get those off the Buy Michigan Now site, lists of what is made in Michigan. So that when somebody goes in, they've got the list, and if they're going to buy one cookie or another, they may very well buy the Michigan cookie just because it was made in Michigan. So I think that's something that maybe you guys could, yeah, maybe just, you know, a list that you can give out in flyer style or something like that.
You don't do that.
Everything there is made in Michigan.
There you go. See, now, and that, you know, I do have a question from Mike in California for, I believe, Mike. Given Michigan's severe economy, or I'm sorry, given Michigan's severe economic problems, is the economic success of Mike's film industry, oh, I didn't know you had the film industry, Mike, venture, or Mary's Farmers Market being closely monitored as a template or example for success for others to follow? I guess what Mike is trying to ask is if you guys are monitoring the type of success that you're having from both of the industries.
Oh, for sure. When you talked about the film industry, did you say?
He asked about the film industry and about Marianne's farmer's market industry.
Oh, well, just for the perspective of the film industry, I'm obviously very involved with that for our community because of the development we have going on. And it's definitely something that is mimicking everything that it is in California. But one of the things we find from the people that are in the film industry, one of the very first thing they ask about is where's the closest or the nearest farmer's market? They really get into having munchies all day long, and they want healthy stuff. They
want
the fruits and vegetables. It's very much and very common for this industry to be looking for that. In some cases, and in most cases of the studios out west, they have some type of produce on hand, fresh produce brought in daily, where it's either a vendor or it's even some mini-type farmer's market. So we're looking at some success with the industry in Allen Park and hoping that they'll be able to tap into the farmer's market activity. We have a new production that just came into the city this last week, and one of the first things they asked again was about the fresh produce that's in the area. And I explained to them that this week was our first opening day for the farmer's market, and they all marked their calendar, and they all want to make sure that they're going to be able to come down because we're only about 3 blocks away from the studio. So they're looking at doing that casual Friday luncheon to come down to the farmer's market.
Well, that would be fun. Perhaps you guys can help incorporate something, some kind of a connective tissue between the two. Because, I, you know, wouldn't that be fun running around and bumping into movie stars at the local farmer Allen Park Farmer's Market? Now there's a treat for you.
Who can offer that perk?
I'm telling you, nobody could. That would be an amazing. I mean, and just having any of the people from the studio there, I think it would be exciting. It generates a lot of excitement. And let's face it, we're a society that likes our film industry. We like our media. We like our it makes us proud to have this here. I'm really very proud of what you guys have done down there. Again and again, I keep saying that because you guys, in the Allen Park area, it was extremely devastated. I know this even prior to some of the auto industries really going belly up. You guys had a really, really difficult time economically there. Yeah. And look at how you've turned it around. Look at how you have created entire new industries that were never thought of before. You fought for them, you worked for them, you put them together, you have engaged where a lot of the cities, you know, I know the Garden City, for example, the Chamber of Commerce handles their farmers market, although they do have the support of the city, which is very nice, and they're a great group of people. I'm sure, Mike, you know a number of them in Garden City.
And you're right. All over the communities, there's a variety of organizations and how they get organized, and eventually they start to partner out. The
yeah.
Chamber of Commerce helps out this group or that group by being a part of the event of the farmers market, by having some type of responsibility or role that allows them to all share that. In our case, having events, we're trying to team up with the Chamber of Commerce to bring in a local vendor for one day a week, or to give them an opportunity to show what they're all about and let them experience the farmers market themselves, and let it be a local business within our town. That's what we want to be able to do, highlight the business and then highlight a particular event.
Fantastic. I wish you both the greatest luck. Marianne, would you like to say something about farmers markets and quickly before we have to go?
Oh, sure. The main thing I think is just to encourage people, if you've not gone out to a farmers market, please do. It's an addiction. It's something fun. We see all different types of people out there, and, you know, if nothing else, it's a great people-watching event. It's kind of fun sometimes to pick out the different things that are in season and then try to figure out what you're going to make for dinner out of those things. And you can always discover something new. And I think that there's something to be said for meeting the people that produce your produce. And, you know, last year when there was the big scare with the spinach that was contaminated, and I remember thinking, boy, I don't even have to worry about that because I know the person I bought my spinach from. You know, I didn't have to go check a UPC code or anything. It's like I knew them eyeball to eyeball. And that's important. You hear about their families, and you see these, you know, these farm families, and they've got their little kids that are working the area. And it's just a neat thing to be a part of. So I encourage people to, if you look online, find your local farmers market and go check it out. It's a lot of fun.
And a shameless plug for Allen Park, Mike, you want to go for it?
Well, for sure. We want to make sure that you're taking advantage of coming out to the city website, cityofallenpark.org. You'll see all the activities about the farmers market and many others that we have going on this upcoming summer. And with the kickoff of the farmers market this week, we have our third Thursday. We're kicking off with horse carriage rides throughout our business district. Next week, we're doing a classic car show. Next Wednesday, we'll have the Main Street closed down and have about 300 classic cars brought in. And we go right into the farmers market again. So every week, we're looking at creating a nice little summer atmosphere for our downtown area. So,
and let's not
looking
forget
forward
the
to
Allen Days, the Allen Days Fair. That
hey,
is one of the
fireworks.
Best fairs. Yes, that, all of that
street
is
fair.
It's some. Yep, the street fair is one of the best fairs in the state.
Yes, it is. It brings in about 40,000 people for a 2-day event.
It sure does, and
street.
It's an amazing event. So, for anybody that's in the state, please join us, and you might even get Mike D'Onofrio's autograph.
We'll bring you into the studio, give you a little tour.
That sounds like fun. We're going to hold you to that, Mike. Well,
sure,
thank
absolutely.
You, folks. It's been a pleasure having both Marianne Demo and Mike D'Onofrio on the show today discussing Farmers Market. Next week's guest is going to be Barry Schwartz. He is the Shroud of Turin photographer who was on the original team of the Shroud, of the investigation team of the Shroud of Turin. That'll be July 13th, and we'll see you all then. And until then, let the people speak.
One bright sunny morning in the shadow of the city wall, by the river in Columbus, I saw my people, and they stood there hungry. This land was made for you and me. This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, the red blame.